Hallelujah. I want to take you to two passages of scripture. First, Mark's Gospel, the sixth chapter. Mark's Gospel, the sixth chapter. And then I want to take you to the book of Jude. Mark's Gospel, the sixth chapter. Mark's Gospel, the sixth chapter. Then to the book of Jude. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Two people got it. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
That sounds like my church. The Bible says, and he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? Jesus is in church, and he's operating in another dimension, but he's doing it where he grew up. His family is there. It's a family church. His brothers, James, Joseph, and Jude, who is also Judas, and Simon. These are the half-brothers of Jesus. There are four of them. Y'all are too tired today. His sisters are there. And as he's speaking, the Bible says, they were offended. The audacity, the unmitigated call for you to get up with such power and authority when we know where you come from. You the carpenter's boy. You ain't no rabbi. You're not supposed to be doing stuff like this. So Jesus got up and said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. So the text intimates it wasn't just the Jewish leaders or church folk in the church that had a difficulty dealing with Jesus. His family also had some issues. It's one thing for other people to reject you, but it's another thing for the folk that know you to say you ain't got it. Oh, I'm gonna preach the paint off the ceiling. I'm trying to tell you what it is. And he says, a prophet is without honor in his own country, but he's without honor, is not without honor except in his own country. In other words, if I go somewhere else, they honor me. But if I come back to where I grew up, oh my God, where they see me grow up, where I become common to them, where they've seen me in only one dimension, where they've seen me doing only one thing, but don't know what God put on the inside of me, when I come back and start showing them who I really am, they're offended. Because my purpose and my potential has offended their laziness. Because when I came back home, you were in the same spot that you were when I left. So the scripture says that because of how they felt about him, he could not do no mighty works there. It didn't say he couldn't do no mighty works. It just said he couldn't do no mighty works there, except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about in the villages in a circuit teaching. He marveled because of their unbelief, and then he went about in a circuit in the villages teaching. He didn't leave, even though they didn't believe. Y'all are missing me already. He didn't let their unbelief stop him from working. Oh, yeah. Go to Jude so I can add to this conversation. I just want to talk to you. The book of Jude, you ain't got to really look for no chapters because of it's only one, boo. Somebody tell you go to Jude 2, they lying. Jude, verse 24, says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Oh, my God. I don't even know if I can get through this text. "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless." Oh, glory to God. "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Mm-hmm, you're going to miss me here. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." I want to preach to you from the subject, the force and the fall. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is powerful. It's quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, you know why we are here. We are not here to be entertained. We're not here to have our ears tickled, but Father, we are here to receive a word from you that changes our nature, that causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. So touch that heart that's distracted right now. Touch that heart that just came to be entertained to hear Pastor Michael preach. Because they're not going to hear Michael. They're going to hear the Holy Ghost. Touch that heart, Father, that needs this word. They've been rejected. They've been told it's impossible. They've had doors slammed in their face, but you kept them from falling. Touch that heart, Father, that doesn't know where to turn, where to go. Been crying out to you for answers, looking to you for solutions, that need to know you got them today. Touch that heart that's contemplating suicide, Father. Touch that heart that sees no hope in the life that you've given them. Touch that heart, Father, of the husband who's given up on his marriage and the family, the wife who's walked out. Touch that heart, God, of your people that need to hear you today. Satan, we serve your notice. You have no authority here. And we loose the power of the Holy Spirit in this place to heal and to deliver and to set free. And God will give you glory for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you do me a favor and give God the best praise you got right now? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I feel it already. Can you feel a shift happen in the atmosphere? Can you feel that shift happen in the atmosphere? I dare you take 20 seconds and give him praise. I dare you. I dare you take 20 seconds and give him glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name, God. Yeah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If it's okay, I want to take my time to work this text for a minute because there's so many nuggets in here that I don't want you to miss what God is trying to say to you this morning. I want to first just have a conversation with you before I get into it. The conversation I want to have with you is a conversation of reality. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to face your reality. You got to face your reality. You have to face your reality because reality is your ally. It is your friend. It can teach you the most valuable lesson. The spirituality that God gave man was not to get over our reality. It was not to fake it. It was to face our reality head on, to be able to understand that I can handle the darkness a little bit. As a matter of fact, truth be told, I really can't handle all of the light because pure light blinds. And so to be able to see effectively, I need a little bit of darkness with my light. If everything was okay, if all your problems were solved, you wouldn't see correctly. Your perspective would be off. You wouldn't have distinctive characteristics about knowing who God really is. And more importantly, knowing who you are in him. If you hadn't gone through what you had gone through, you would not have the experience of understanding not how strong you are, but how weak you are. And in that weakness, then you are strong. It's only those that understand the power of their weakness that actually become stronger when they come to the knowledge of how weak they really are. Look at your neighbor and say, I do not have it all together and it is okay. I know in church you want to act like, you got it all together, but Christianity is not acting, it's reacting. You're not here with me. When we make Christianity acting, we become phony Christians. Oh, y'all ain't in here with me. Acting like everything is all right. Acting like nothing in your life is falling apart. Acting like you got all the answers. Acting like, oh, I wish I had somebody that you woke up like this morning. And acting like you didn't have to struggle to get out of your bed and struggle to come to the house of the Lord and to lift up his praise, even though things were falling apart in your life, but still you pressed your way into the house of God to say, God, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I came to give you glory and I came to lift you up anyway, because if one thing I know is that if I can get into your presence, oh, you'll show up and bring me some peace and bring me some joy. Touch your neighbor and say, I know how weak I am. See, that's what makes you strong. When you start trying to fake it, when you start trying to act like you got it all together, when you start, you know, wearing your suit like you're so holy, I wish I had somebody, knowing that there was a point in time in your life where you couldn't afford what you got on right now, I wish I had somebody in here, that it wasn't always like this, that there were some days where you had to believe God that you was going to make it from point A to point B because you were riding on faith. Because you didn't have the gas to get to where you need to go, but you went anyway, saying, God, help me to get there. Help me to make it. I got a job interview. I got to get to where I need to go. And God gave you the grace to make it. Oh, God. I just want to talk to some real folk in the room that understand the grace that God has given them, that there were some times in your life that you didn't know that you were going to make it, but somehow, some way, God made a way out of no way. And I just want to preach to some real folk that can say, Pastor, you talking to me. I experienced it for myself. Or if I'm talking to you, holler at me. If I'm talking to you, let me know. Oh, he made a way out of no way, and I'm just thankful, and I'm just grateful. And if we really want to tell the truth, I shouldn't be sitting next to you right now. I should be somewhere in a dark room with a pillow over my head. I should be sitting at a bar stool, drunk out of my mind. I shouldn't be where I am right now. But by the grace of God, there go I. I'll go ahead and touch your neighbor and say, stop fronting, stop fronting. I know that's a dated term, but use it anyway. Just say, stop fronting, stop fronting. Yeah. My daughter and y'all millennials are like, what's fronting? Stop being phony, stop faking it. Stop faking it. You have to understand that it is in the knowledge of where you don't have it all together. Oh, God. That makes you strong. The Bible says, when I am weak, then I am strong. The problem that we have today is that we think life is supposed to be easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We particularly those of us who have professed the Lord as our Savior, we now think that because we are saved, everything is supposed to work out. He says all things work together for your good. He didn't say all things work out. So we get frustrated with the Lord when it doesn't work out. But if you live long enough, you'll start thanking God for the stuff that did not work out. I'm about to step into this thing. And I'm just trying to have a conversation, but I remember some stuff that I wanted to do that God would not let me do. And now I'm so thankful. God, thank you that you shut me down. See, when you start thinking life is supposed to be easy, you'll start thinking that you're stuck, but you're not stuck, you're stopped. If God orders your steps, he also has the right to order your stops and also has the right to say, nope, I don't want you to move right now. I need you to stay right there so that you can learn something about yourself. Oh, touch somebody and say, I'm not stuck, I'm stopped. And God did the stopping. He held me right where I needed to. Oh, you don't like that. He held me right where I needed to be so that I didn't go another step further. Because if I went another step further, I would not have had the experience necessary for the next level that he was going to take me to. Life is difficult. It is the reality of the thing. It ain't easy. Living ain't easy. You live long enough, you come to find out this thing is not a game. And if you take it for granted, you will live a life that nobody has any information to write about it. We'd be lying at your funeral, making up stories about your life. They read your obituary. It's only going to say where you went to school. Life is difficult. It is not easy. This is the great truth, and it is the greatest truth. It is the greatest truth because once you truly see this understanding that life is difficult, you can transcend the understanding. Once you know that life is difficult, once you truly understand and accept the fact that life is difficult, then life is no longer difficult. You didn't hear what I just said. Once you know it's hard, then it's not hard. When you know it's difficult, you won't be complaining about the difficulties. And you won't be concerned about how hard it is. You'll just keep working and you'll just keep fighting because you know this comes with the territory, babe. Touch your neighbor and say, this comes with the territory. Being persecuted and going through and being talked about is table stakes for a Christian. I wish I had somebody here. Being misunderstood and being misrepresented is table stakes for a Christian. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death is table stakes. Touch your neighbor and say, that's playtime stuff, boo. I gotta help somebody. It's playtime stuff because if you really understand what it's like to reflect the Lord told his disciples, they rejected me, they're gonna reject you. He told them before he sent them out, and he let them know, if they reject you when you go, here's what I need you to do. I need you to wipe the dust off of your feet because I don't want you to carry the dust of their broken words with you into the destiny I have given you. I don't know what dust you are carrying, but you need to wipe some stuff off of your psyche and wipe some stuff off of your heart and let those dead words fall to the ground. Oh, I wish I had some people who were prophetic in this room that would just go, I gotta get some stuff up off of me. Words that my father spoken, words that my mother spoken, words that the teacher said, and words that were criticizing, and words that were condemning. I'm about to wipe that stuff off of me. Oh, God. The only way that you can wipe off the words of somebody is to have your own words. I'm about to work this thing right here. You got to have your own words to fight the words of criticism and condemnation. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. You have to have the ability to speak life over yourself after somebody spoke death over you. There was a place in scripture that suggests a king would hire a soothsayer to go and curse the children of Israel. And it was this king that says, I want you to go and I want you to proclaim a cursing over Israel. And when the soothsayer came, he had to let the king know, I can't curse them because there's a word that's going to contend with the word that I will speak over their life. And the word that is going to contend with the word that I will speak over their life is the word that God has already given them. God has told me, and he stopped me along the roadside and he started speaking to me through a donkey to let me know that you can't curse what I already bless. And so it was the soothsayer that had to tell the king they are irreversibly blessed. So anything I say over their life ain't gonna work because God already pronounced the blessing over their life. Slap your name and say, God done already blessed me already. The Bible says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God done already spoke it, baby. Oh, I need somebody to get this revelation. God done already spoke it. It's a done deal. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, then it shall. Oh, I dare you to touch three people and say, it is so. If they ask you what is so, say what God said about me. It is so. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. Wherever I place the soles of my feet, God gives it to me. I am more than a conqueror. Oh, slap somebody and say, it is so. Hey, glory to God, I feel it in here. It is so. The devil is a liar. No longer will you be beat up with those negative words. God spoke a word and called you blessed. He eulogized your life like you have already lived it. He spoke blessing over you like you've already done everything that he put on the inside of you. He eulogioed you. Bless. That's what it means to eulogio, to speak over you. Well, as if you've already lived it. I wish I had some folk that understood what I just said. To speak over you as if you've already lived it. You ain't done a thing, but he called the thing before you ever have done it. Said you're blessed. Once you understand that life is difficult, you can transcend the meaning of life. You'll realize that it's supposed to be hard because it's precious. Y'all are here. People say life is short. Yeah. Sometimes it's long. Depending on the perspective. Because you can go through some stuff in life that feel like it's been a long time. Yeah. Life is supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy. Who told you that it would be? And you're walking around mad because you ain't got favor. Favor is not something you can pull out of your wallet like a credit card to buy something. Favor is not used for material. Favor is used for war. For the Bible says the Lord will bless the righteous, and with his favor he shall surround them like a shield. The only time you need a shield is when you're in a fight. God gives you favor to fight so that when you have to fight, you don't have to swing, you just have to walk. Because when you walk, the favor of the Lord, oh God, I feel it in here. Slap somebody and say, I'm just gonna walk this thing. It's hard, but I'm gonna walk. They fight me, but I'm gonna walk. They talk about me, but I'm gonna walk. They said I couldn't do it, but I'm going. Woo-hoo-hoo! Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, I got favor, I got favor. I got favor to walk in the dark places. I got favor to walk the difficult terrain. I got favor that God will go ahead of me and make the crooked place. I got favor, baby. Favor is a shield, not a credit card. You see, when you walk life, you're really walking against words. You don't hear me. The fight is a fight of words. What they said, what you heard. Why do you think faith comes by hearing? When God faced a difficulty in beginnings, not the beginning. In beginnings, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. There was something before the beginning, because God could not have began when the beginning began. To say God began when the beginning began would not make him God. It would say that he was created and God stands alone. Beside him, there is no other. So he had to have be before the beginning. So in beginnings, plural, Elohim created, really recreated the heavens and the earth. We know he recreated because he began to call forth what was already present. Let the earth bring forth. Oh, God, Lord have mercy. When he began to encounter a difficulty, he began to speak to it. You don't hear what I'm saying. He began to use words to recreate the problem. He began to say, let there be light and let the earth bring forth grass. In other words, it's in there. I just got to call it forth. Ooh, God, the only way I can call it forth is if I speak to it. If I remain silent, you're not in here with me, then it's never going to come forth. There's a time to hold your peace, but then there's a time to let loose your praise. There's a time to be silent, but then there's a time to open up your mouth and start speaking to the atmosphere and calling it into order in your life. When you need some walls to come down, God will give you the strategy of silence. But when you're dealing with rejection, you can't sit there and be silent. You got to open up your mouth and counter the words that are negative with the force that is positive of what you know God orchestrated in your life. Slap your name and say, I got to talk to it. If I sit here and don't say nothing, it's going to beat me all the days of my life. If I sit here and shout about it and cry about it, and when somebody asks me about it, I say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Then ain't nothing going to happen. But if I can muster up the courage and understand that God puts something in me, so much so that the forces of darkness are arrayed against me to keep pushing it down and suppressing my purpose and my potential and my destiny by the words that impact me the most. And the words that impact me the most are from the people that are supposed to love me the most. And because they have not validated my purpose and my potential, I'm walking around rejected, feeling like I don't have it, feeling like I don't have a purpose, not knowing if my father ever loved me, not knowing if my mother ever liked me, not understanding what the teacher saw in me. The coach rolled my back because they saw my potential, but they never told me they saw my potential. So it just felt like they were riding my back because I thought I didn't have it within me, but they saw something in me, but they didn't know how to articulate it. And so here I am walking around all these years silent, not speaking to the feelings that I have, feeling rejected and feeling lonely. Just the carpenter's boy. They don't know that I am the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They don't know that I am the anointed one. They don't know that I was before they ever was. They don't know I emptied out all of my omnipresence and all of my divinity to come down and be the sacrificial lamb. They don't know who I really am. And so they can only see me in one dimension. And so whenever I start to let loose a little bit, I get rejected. And it was my mama that was able to tell me that I was something. And this is why when we came to Cana of Galilee, she told the servants, whatever my boy tells you to do, go ahead and do it, because there's power on the inside of his words. When he uses his words, something powerful happened. And I came to tell somebody today, the same power that God had on the inside of him is the same power that you got on the inside of you. You're just not speaking to it. Slap your name and say, you got to talk to it, baby. You got to talk to it. You got to talk to it. Jesus is dealing with the fact that nobody, including his family, understands who he really is. And now his ministry is jumping off, and folk are getting healed, saved, delivered, and set free. Wherever he goes, stuff is popping off. And then with pride and joy, he returns home to Nazareth, where he was raised. And he goes into the synagogue thinking he's going to receive a warm reception and thinking everybody's going to be excited to see him do his thing. And he's met with criticism, and he's met with an offense. So much so, they tried to throw him off a cliff for only stepping into his purpose.
Isn't it amazing that how folk will try to take you down as soon as you start trying to go up? They start trying to pull you down. And so now all of a sudden, they have a problem with who he is. Oh, y'all. They ain't have a problem when they was drinking wine. They didn't have a problem when he was solving some of their solutions. But as soon as he starts preaching in the synagogue with wisdom, no, you don't hear what I'm saying. They knew that he was already doing stuff. You don't hear what I'm saying. They didn't have a problem with him doing stuff. They had a problem with him saying stuff. There was no issue of him doing. The issue was him saying. The enemy doesn't care what you're doing, but the moment you start saying, he gets a little bit nervous because your words have power. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. When the Lord came upon the problem of the earth, he said, "Let there be light," and spoke light into the problem because the atmosphere was collapsed. In other words, the earth was underwater. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And so he had to say, "Let there be light." And the reason he said, "Let there be light," if I had to argue it scientifically, I would do it this way. He's contending with the law of gravity, because the law of gravity suggests what goes up must come down. So right now, gravity is pushing you down to stay grounded on the earth. Well, something transpired that got the gravity out of whack, and it pushed what was on the earth underneath of the water. So everything that was supposed to be here was no longer here, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So he had to step into the situation and say, "Let there be light," because the only thing strong enough to contend with gravity is light. Light moves fast enough to escape the power of gravity. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So when I speak the word of God, I gotta escape velocity. Oh, you ain't gonna sit on this word. Slap your neighbor high five and say, "If you speak it, you'll escape it." Y'all go get my other microphone. If you speak it, you'll escape it. Go get my other microphone. If you speak it, you'll escape it. I need you to do me a favor, because the enemy don't want you to hear this word. And I need you to make sure you touch at least three people on your row and say, "If you speak it, baby, you'll escape it." He wants you to sit there trying to be entertained and sit there and act like you ain't got nothing to speak about. But I came to tell you, if you would open up your mouth and declare the word of the living God, you. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just somebody just go. You just got out. You don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, God, just do it one more time. You just got out. You just got out of debt. You just got out of difficulty. You just got out of sickness. You just got out of disease. Slap somebody a high five and say, "I just escaped. I just escaped the broken marriage. I just escaped divorce. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I just got out." Oh, yeah. Oh, the devil is a liar. You coming up out of this thing by the word of the living God. Oh, God, I feel that thing in here. My God, I feel that thing. Don't push me. Y'all sit down. I ain't done.
I ain't done. We about halfway there. Jesus is speaking the word, and they're offended, and they try to kill him, but he stays on a circuit. He stays and goes on a circuit in the villages teaching, because teaching destroys unbelief. He says, they don't believe around here, so I'm just going to hang out and keep teaching. And I'm going to do it in the circuit. I'm going to do it in the circuit because I am going to create a new system of teaching. And when I create a new system, it's going to insulate the system. Watch me now. But also allow it to be able to exchange energy. In other words, I'm going to convert unbelief into belief. And I'm going to use unbelief as a surrounding so that I can create belief. You know, hear what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not going to run from the fight. I'm not going to let the enemy run me from this territory. I care too much about my family. I care too much about my friends that even if they don't believe in me, I'm going to believe in them. Oh, you don't hear what I'm just saying. I know they're negative, but I'm be positive. Everything you say to me, I'm going to resound it. But by the time it comes back to you, it's going to be positive and not negative. I'm going to exchange the energy you're throwing my way, but I'm going to send it back out to you. And when I send it back out to you, your unbelief is going to become belief, because you're not going to believe that I'm still here. And because I'm still here, you're going to stop not believing and start believing because I'm still here. Stop letting the enemy run you off. Stop letting them run you off that idea, run you off your purpose, run you out of your marriage. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm staying. I ain't going nowhere. If you're sitting here with your spouse and y'all was cussing each other out before you got into the church, that's right, I'm talking to you. Look them dead in the eye and say, I ain't going nowhere. Do it with an attitude because you're mad anyway. And just let them know, I ain't going nowhere. I'm not letting the devil get rid of what God put together. And what God put together, let no man put aside. I came to rescue marriages today. I came to save you from divorce. I came to snatch you from the... While you sitting there looking cute, the devil kicking your butt. And your first default is to run, take your ball and go home. I've been with this woman for 22 years, 22. And I'm sure there are days she wanted to put some little something in my food. You understand what I'm saying? Not never, baby. Thank you, thank you. I can still eat with, I ain't got to worry about it. Like, taste this. 22 years. And people ask me, how you get stay married that long? Stay married. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Ain't no formula. Just don't leave. I told a long time ago, I don't care if we got to have separate bedrooms. We ain't going nowhere. You go to your room, I go to our room. Y'all ain't said nothing. But at the end of the day, we're going to be together. Oh, y'all ain't trying. See, that's the problem today. That's the problem. Soon as you get a difficulty, I got that one, the one. You married them in the first place. You said I do. All right, I got to leave it alone. So, I ain't getting on you. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. I'm not getting on you. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. And if they left you, they're lost. Oh, y'all better shout to me up in here. They're lost. And God will renew that thing in your life and send somebody else. Oh, I feel this thing. God is about to put it back together.
Oh, you better hear this prophetic word. God's about to put it back. Oh, God.
Jesus doesn't leave because of his family. He says it's too important. Do you have anything that you care enough about that you would die for? Touch my family if you want to. Somebody's gonna die. And I don't mind giving up my life so that they can live. Touch my mama. I swear for God, I come up off this stage and knock your block off. I come up off this suit so quick. I'll tell you something right now. I love all you. Put your mouth on my peeps, see what happens. I don't play. There's things in my life that I would die for. I'd die for the kingdom. I love God that much. I give my life for it. I love you that much. I love you that much that I won't let the enemy run me off and run me out. I'm on a circuit. I ain't going nowhere. Well, God, I just feel somebody needs to declare to the enemy, I'm not going nowhere. Bring it. Fight me all you want to. I'm going to take your energy and I'm going to use it. So, Pastor, how do you know? I got to finish this thing up. How do you know that he did it for his family? Because the Bible specifically names his kin, his brothers by name, but not his sisters, because his sisters were believers, but his brothers were not. So he stayed for his brothers. I need some men in the room to understand that God will hang around just to save you. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying in here. He stayed for his brother. James, Joseph, Judas, Jude, Simon, his brothers. James becomes a great leader in the church of Jerusalem. And he writes the book of James. And then Jude gets to slip in a chapter. Just one. Because Jude was not going to serve his brother. Because Jude didn't see the Messiah in Jesus. Oh, God. He only saw Joseph, my God. But he wasn't aware that Jesus didn't come from Joseph. That's why they're his half-brothers. Because Jesus is the only one in the family that was birthed immaculately. He was the only one that came from divine inspiration by the power of the Holy Ghost. The rest of them, oh, y'all not in here with me, came by Joseph. So the natural jealousy that you are not one of us is in play here. And Jude, watch me now, struggles. You hear nothing about him throughout the ministry of Jesus. The Bible doesn't say anything about his life, where he comes from, who he is. The first time his name is recorded is in the gospel scripture that I gave you, that he was one of Jesus' brothers in a synagogue who had offense. And then you hear nothing until he writes his own story. Oh God, I feel a preach coming on.
And when he writes his own story, he opens it up and he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I spent years watching my brother circle around the village to teach me the principles of the kingdom of God, and I wasn't a believer. But by the time he got finished circling, now I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm not a bishop, I'm not an elder, I'm not an apostle, I'm just a servant. Oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap your neighbor high five and say something's about to shift in your family. You better hear what I'm saying. Whoever's been fighting you and your family, there's about to be a divine shift. Oh God, God is about to renew some things that are going on in your family life right now. Shout about it. I said shout about it. I said shout about it. Shout about it. Somebody say shift, shift, shift. Shift in my family. Shift in my relationships. Shift in my marriage. I dare you throw your head back and shout shift, Jesus. Shift. He says now I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And he says to the people that he's writing to, he says, I was going to write to you about our common salvation. In other words, we got salvation in common, so I was going to write about our salvation. But I have, watch me now, to change the narrative and tell you, I don't need to write to you about your salvation. I need to write to you about contending. So instead of me writing to you about the things of Christianity, I need to write to you about contending. I need to say, you got to fight for this thing, baby. Slap your name and say, you got to fight for this thing. Yeah. You can't sit there looking at it, letting it take you out of here. You got to fight. Oh, God, I feel an anointing in here. Come on, touch three people and say, you got to fight. Don't let the devil take you down. Don't let him take your kids. Don't let him take your marriage. Don't let him take your business. Don't let him take your joy. Don't let him take your peace. You got to fight. Oh, God, roll your sleeves up and let the enemy know you in for a fight, Jack. You mess around and let me get to the house of God. I'm about to fight you back. He said, you got to fight, because if you don't fight, the false teachers are going to win. He says, there are false teachers that are among you. They are apostate. They are so ungodly and unruly that now you are believing their truth. They slide in among you just to take from you and rob from you and steal from you. And you're letting them do it without a fight. Slap your name and say, I gotta fight back, baby. I gotta fight back. And because I thought life was supposed to be easy, I'm sitting here taking it on the chin. The devil is a liar. You hit me, I'm about to hit you back. Slap your name and say, I'm going to turn the other cheek, all right. Come on here. And when I come back round full circle, I'm going to have something balled up in my fist. I wish I had somebody in here. You got to fight back. He says, if you don't fight back, you're going to surely fall. Oh, God. And he reminds them of how people fell. He says there were angels in heaven that rebelled against God, and they fell, and they are locked up in chains right now until God lets them go. He says, remember the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the fall. Remember the fall. Remember the fall. and he gives them examples of how they fell. And he begins to tell them, I need you to understand that if you don't fight, the false teachers are going to cause you to fall. And when they cause you to fall, you have no defense against it. And so he says, if you're going to fight, you have to learn to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the way I don't fall is to look for God's love and God's mercy. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm on the lookout for the love of God and for the mercy of God. You see, the way I stay upright and not give in to the force that's trying to cause me to fall is because I know the Lord loves me. And because I know he loves me, he gives me new mercies every morning. Every morning, I wake up with brand new mercies. Jeremiah said, I wouldn't have made it, but I recalled to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies I am not consumed. It's because of mercy I haven't fallen. It's because of mercy I've been kept. And somehow the saints have forgotten to look for the love and the mercy of God in their lives. So when the false teachers come, you're no longer looking for the love of God. You're looking for the lust that's in your heart. Because it didn't come quick enough for you. Because they rejected you, you'll listen to anybody. Your father didn't love you. And so that's why you can't sustain a relationship. Looking for validation from people who don't mean you well. Like the woman at the well who can't get fulfillment, so she keeps exchanging for the same thing on the stairmaster of life, but going nowhere until Jesus shows up in love and mercy. Oh God, and becomes the last man in her life. Walking around with daddy wounds. I'm talking to brothers too. Don't know how your father felt about you. Don't know if he loved you, because he wasn't there. And you're walking around with a gaping hole in your heart. No example of what love really is. And Jude says you ought to look for the love and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. If I had to close it with another scientific argument, I would use the second law of thermodynamics. I gave you the first law already. Energy cannot be destroyed, just transferred. But entropy is always trying to make you fall. In other words, something is always decaying unless something stops it from decaying. The only way not to fall is to be introduced to an outside source that has a different power that keeps you. If you need an explanation of that, just go home and experiencing your power going out after you've gone to the grocery store. You go to the grocery store, you get your groceries, you put them in the refrigerator. You put them in the refridge. What the refridge does is keep cooling over and over again something that's trying to die. And it keeps it from falling. You don't hear what I'm saying. When Jesus showed up in your life, he was the refrigerator. Ah, God, I feel it. That keeps you so that you can be open, oh God, and usable. Now unto him who was able to keep you from falling. Because just like he walked the circuit around the villages, he's walking around your life saying, I won't let you fall. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you lose. I'm not going to let it go down like that. I'll redo it. I'll resound it. I'll recreate it. I'll replenish it. Everyone standing on your feet all over this church. All over this church. The force and the fall. The force is the thing that's keeping you from not falling. The force of God's word in your life that gives you escape velocity. The force of God's word in your life that gives you endurance. The word of God in your life that gives you eternal promises. You're going to escape it. You're going to endure it. And the promise does not expire. You're going to escape it. You're going to endure it. And the promise does not expire. You're going to escape it. You're going to endure it. And the promise does not expire. You're going to escape it. You're going to endure it. And the you don't hear me. And the promise does not expire. The promises of God doesn't expire. They're yes and they're amen. You're not out of time and you're not out of options. There's another law of thermodynamics called isolation. What's a system within the first law of thermodynamics? It's not the law, it's a system. Isolation. The system of isolation. The enemy wants to keep you in the system of isolation. What's isolation? Well, it's something that's temporary that you can close off that gives the appearance of doing the job of something that has more power to actually do the job. So, for instance, if I want to cool my food, I put it in the refrigerator. But if I'm in transition, I can buy a cooler. A cooler is an isolated system. There's only a certain amount of time of what I put in there is going to last. So when you're in transition, the enemy offers you an isolated system and then says to you, stay there so that you can slowly die. Why? Because if he ever lets you out and you start getting rebuilt and refreshed and revived, then you can fulfill your purpose and you're usable. And when you become usable, you make impact. And when you make impact, he loses. So that's why he's trying to keep you in that isolated relationship that's not going nowhere. God, I'm preaching better than y'all show. That's why he's trying to keep you in that isolated job when God is pulling you to step out on faith and start your business plan and start that idea that God gave you. You're going to escape it. You're going to endure it. And the promise does not expire. I want to do something real quick. I don't even know what time it is.
I don't know what time it is. Oh, Jesus, I kept y'all forever. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Can I just do this one thing? I want to do this one thing. Because the devil's not going to win. And look, we don't have time for nobody's shame or nobody's issue. Look, get what you need to get. We all got stuff we're facing and dealing with. But I want to do this one thing. If you're having problems in your relationships, you're married, it's hard right now, I want you to meet me at this altar. Do it now. If you wait, the enemy's going to win. Do it now. 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 If your husband here, husband, get down here. Don't you punk out. Get down here. Get down here. Get down here. Do it now. Do it now. If your husband's here, get down here. No station, no title. Don't you be prideful. Don't you do it to yourself. How you just gonna let the enemy just take your stuff? Get to this altar. Every last person. If your wife is down here and you're not, I'm telling you right now, stop. If your wife is down here, you're here, and you don't come down here, I prophesy to you right now, everything in your life is going to crumble. God will preserve her. He won't keep you. That's a prophetic declaration. Don't be a fool. Don't harden your heart. Don't be prideful. I'm not talking about you're going to get divorced. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. If you lose your favor, you lose the fight. Favor is a shield. It's a shield. And if you give up right now, if you quit, if you throw in the towel, if you let the enemy harden your heart that much and you don't get to this altar, I'm saying it for a reason. I'm not trying to put nobody on blast. I'm telling you the word of the Lord. God just said, if your wife is down here and you do not come, woe unto you. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Your life is on the line, dog. Woe unto you. Sit there and be prideful all you want to. Woe unto you. We'll be looking up and doing your funeral. I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. This just happened. I couldn't make the funeral, but this just happened to somebody. I'm telling you what I know. Left his wife, everything in his life crumbled until he was gone. This is a heavy word. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to move out of your seat. There's a husband that I'm speaking to. Your wife is down here. You are not. Move. 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 Get up and move now. 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 Come on. You got a couple more seconds of mercy and grace. But you better get up and move now. Now y'all shout for him for having the courage to come down here. Shout for him for having the courage to do it. Shout for him. Shout for them. Come on, shout for them. The devil is a liar. We rescuing marriages today. I want to do this last thing. Y'all step up. Move up. Move up. Move up. Move up. Move up. Move up. I got one more altar call. This might empty out the whole church. I don't know. You're single. And it's not so much. It's not so much. You're giving up on marriage. You wanted it a long time ago, but now you're like, you know what? I ain't got the time. I feel you. But your heart is not in a good space. And you're lonely. And the enemy is beating your tail. Get to this altar right now. Don't you be prideful. Move. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. God's about to heal your heart right now. I said, God's about to heal your heart right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. They're still coming. 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 I know the hour is late. I know. But I just want to pray for you. This thing fell on me like a ton of bricks. Sitting back, we're not fighting. We're not fighting for each other. We're not fighting. You're going to win today. You're going to win today. Oh God, I feel this anointing. I want everybody to stretch your hand this way. And if you are a married couple and you're in those pews, I need your force. I need your power. I need your energy. I need you with every bit of anointing y'all got together to begin to intercede and pray for these people that's down here. Father, you brought us to this place today to be kept from falling. 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 Father, I declare right now in the name of Jesus that the marriages that are represented at this altar are about to be kept. Start working on hearts right now. If their husbands aren't here, wherever they are, Father, wherever they are doing at this very moment, move upon their heart right now in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Touch them. Heal the hurts. Heal the wounds. Heal the scars. The words that were spoken. The words that were dropped on them that they carry around like a weight. Father, we release them from every negative word right now in the name of Jesus. Every last word. To my sisters and brothers who came marred and scarred from broken relationships and broken promises, single and alone. I said, you're alone. You're not lonely. I break that spirit of loneliness that sets and settles in your heart, that gives you dark nights and dark moments to have relationships with people you know doesn't mean you no good and want nothing from you but what they want out of you. I correct the tendency in the name of Jesus to pick the wrong individual based upon your brokenness. You are healed now in the name of God's Christ.
Oh, you are healed from years of torment and years of loneliness and years of rejection. You are healed right now in the name of Jesus. If you're down here with your spouse, I don't care how mad you are, I want you to hold their hand. If your spouse is down here, I want you to put your arm around them. Do it right now in the name of Jesus. I don't care how bad it is. I want God to begin to speak to you, touch your heart and touch your mind. If your spouse is not here, I just want you to lift your hands up for your spouse. If you were down here because you were lonely, I want you to lift your hands right now and let God finish what he started in you, because he that has begun a good work shall bring it to completion. And I need the rest of you that are in this room for the next 30 seconds to smoke this atmosphere with praise for these individuals. Do it right now, and let's let the enemy know you ain't gonna win. You ain't gonna win. You ain't gonna win. You ain't gonna win. Come on, somebody shout unto God. Shout unto God. Come on, can you praise him for 30 seconds? Can you give him glory for 30 seconds? And let them get the healing that they need. Come on, come on, we got 20 more seconds. I need y'all in the audience not to let up. Come on, come on, church. Come on, Travail Church. Travail Church. Addictions are being broken. Addictions are being broken. Addictions are being broken. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Addictions are being broken. There's a victory shout coming.
I said there's a victory shout coming. There's a victory shout coming.
Look right at me. If you're at the altar, look right at me. Save your life. You think you know, you don't know. You don't know. The grass may be greener on the other side, but the dog is bigger too. The dog is bigger. You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? The dog is bigger. You think you know, you don't know. The enemy has been scheming to kill you. But first he wants to sift you like wheat. Drain you of all your energy. Till you die. Till you die. And how does he do it? He does it at home. He don't care about you shouting in here. He doesn't want what you get here to go home. That's why you're rejected at home. That's why the fight is always at home. Because as soon as you get some energy and as soon as you start getting excited about what God is doing, the enemy breaks all hell loose in your house so that when you get home, you got no peace and you're not getting no sleep. Oh, God, I know I'm preaching right. So when you walk in the house, it's just like dead space. You got to take a deep breath to walk in the door. I know what I'm talking about. No longer, because we're going to face the reality that it's difficult. Oh, God, but it's not impossible. Oh, you didn't hear me. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's hard, but it's not impossible. It's tough, but it's not impossible. I gotta help somebody. It's hard, but it's not impossible. You can make it. You can make it. You're gonna have to work. You're gonna have to fight, but you can make it. What would happen if you put your energy together to fight the devil instead of fighting each other? What would happen? What would happen if you let go of that person that hurt you in that old relationship and it stops you from walking into a new relationship? What would happen if you let it go? What would happen if you let the devil know, I'm going to fight? I ain't going to sit here and sob all night and eat gallons of ice cream and put a blanket over my head and turn the lights out. And I am not going to live my life that way. I will not be the person with all the cats. Dag that. The devil is alive. Oh, no, y'all better hear what I'm saying. You better declare it right now. That ain't going to be me. I'm going to be 60 and sexy, and I'm going to be 70 and stepping, and I'm going to be 50, and I'm going to enjoy my life. Take yourself out. If you're single, take yourself out on a date this week and pamper yourself and let the enemy know, I ain't going to be sad about it, baby. And I promise you, somebody might smooth walk up to you while you're out there. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. You're healed today. No, right now, this is a moment for you. For those of you having real difficulty, go seek a family and marriage counselor. A licensed family and marriage counselor. And go work through it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the fight. You invested too much time and energy. It's worth it. It's worth the fight. Fight for it. Contend for the faith. Don't let the false teachers, what's the false teachers? Your mind telling you, driving you? That's the false teacher. Your pain? Pain talks, baby. And it's eloquent. Pain got a silver tongue. Pain to say, you don't need them. You need to look at here. Look at shorty over there. Go on. Look. You ain't got that time. Look at, see how she talk. Your wife don't do that down there. Yeah, come on. Pain talks. Pain talks. Today, we're writing a different story. Like Jude, who wrote his story and said, I was going to write something, but I got to write something else. I got to tell you to fight, because I know what it feels like not to believe. But my brother stayed for me. Jesus stayed for you. He stayed for your marriage. He stayed for your relationships.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise as you go back to your seats. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. I'll let you get to your seat. I'm going to give the benediction. My assignment was to rescue some people. Snatch you from the fire. That's what the, oh, y'all want to stay at the altar? Okay, you can stay. You can stay. You ain't got to go nowhere. You stay right here. It's all good. If you want to stay, stay. If you want to sit at this altar and cry, baby, you sit at this altar, you get a spot, and you sit here and cry, we'll sit right here with you. It's all good. Do what you want. It's all good. If you want to sit here and labor for the Lord, I'm going to give this benediction. That's what I'm going to do. Did you get blessed this morning? Come on. Did this word bless you? Did it bless you? I won't know unless you tell me. It blessed like two people? The word blessed like two people? Y'all still ain't clapping. Y'all are terrible today on me. I tell you, swear it now.
Hallelujah.
A prophet is without honor in his own home. Don't get quiet. Don't get quiet. A prophet is without honor in his own home. You need to know what you have before you lose what you have. Say amen to that. When you stop appreciating what you have starts depreciating. You lose its value and its worth. And because you lose the worth, you don't fight for it no more. Don't fight for it no more. Don't take this church for granted. Don't take this preacher for granted. Did you get blessed today? Lift those hands. Oh God, I still feel you. Oh God. I know we gotta go. Your future is on the line, guys. Your life, you don't sit in here thinking this is just church. This is your life. Do you love anything enough to die for it? And you sit here week after week, hear ridiculous word after ridiculous word, and don't do nothing with it. Take this word and use it. Go home and fight. Don't let the enemy just take your stuff. Take your joy, take your peace. And keep us trying to entertain you. Ain't nobody here to entertain you. We're trying to save your life. Your life. Your life. Your life. My life is good. I love my wife. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm trying to save your life. I just don't want you to leave here thinking that wasn't for you. I know what it feels like to be rejected. I'm sorry. I was so close to quitting doing what I'm doing because a prophet is without honor in his own home. I shouldn't have to beg you for amens. I gave my life to be your pastor. And I'm going to do it for the rest of my life because I made that covenant with the Lord. But I know what it feels like to keep fighting almost. You almost get there, but you don't. You almost make it, but you don't. It almost happens, but it doesn't. And that fight almost killed me to the point where I didn't want to do anything anymore. And I know you look at me and you think I got a vest on or a cape on. It's a cape, all right, that says weak. It doesn't say Superman. It says weak man. Yeah, I know. We don't talk like that, but I'm going to tell you what it is. I preach to you sometimes and go home and cry. I preach to you sometimes and want to go home and quit. I preach to you sometimes and want to go have a drink. Because some of y'all really makes vodka look good. I need to go have a drink and a smoke and sit down because these niggas done work. I'm sorry. I slipped out of my mouth. I'm sorry. My park heights came out. I apologize. Apologies to you. I apologize to all my brothers and sisters. I'm so sorry. I love y'all. I love it. That's my family right there. I love them so much. I'm just real talk. Because I want you to know, I die for you. And I want you to understand that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when I ask you something, please respond. Did you get blessed today? Thank you. I am a human being. The enemy almost got me. I had so many jobs. Y'all have no idea. I had so many job offers and opportunities. I was like, that's nice. Real talk. I was like, I ain't got to be nobody's pastor. I can go do this, sit down. You mean tell me you going to pay me to sit on TV and preach? Oh, you better betcha. And I ain't got to pass nobody. I ain't got to just sit there and do it. You got, okay, we might think about this. But I love you so much that I know this is my assignment. This is my call. This is my purpose. This is what it is. I love you, man. I appreciate you too. Hallelujah. Come on, let's look to the Lord. We had a good time today. Bro, go. I'm so glad the enemy didn't win. I'm so glad I'm still here. I'm so glad. I am so glad. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let's just take a 30-second praise break that you're still here, that you didn't go nowhere. I need y'all to help me out for real. Give me some shout music. And I need somebody to cut loose for about 30 seconds and say, God, thank you that I'm still here. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You going to help me dance for 30 seconds? Come on, slap your neighbor and say, I'm going to get it in for 30 seconds real quick, baby. Go in and get your dance on for 30 seconds. Y'all ain't dancing. Y'all don't want to get it in. I need somebody to cut a step for that pastor for the next 20 seconds. Woo-hoo! Y'all don't want it. Come on, let's look to the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor for the fight. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you, and may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. please make sure you hug somebody real good. Real good. Come on. Hug somebody real good. Let them know he kept you from falling.